You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story, your host for Great Adventures in the Last Frontier. Here with me today is Representative Sarah Vance. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Busy in Juneau, as always, I know. It's never a dull moment. The reason I wanted to have you on today, Sarah, is an opinion piece that appeared not just in the Homer News by a Tom Kazaya, also then republished in the Anchorage Daily News. And I don't understand why it was published in the Anchorage Daily News, other than his longstanding connection to them. But this, the piece I'm talking about, is an opinion piece, and it says, after speaking up for white victims, Representative Sarah Vance apologized. Does she understand why? So, Sarah, first off, Tom Kazaya in the piece mentions a hearing where you said something for later which you apologized, and he mentioned that you were verklempt, and all the eyes of gavel to gavel in the state were watching you, and you were verklempt for 45 seconds or so. Walk us back, first off, to the comment you made for which you then apologized, and then touch on that apology. What was the setting for that comment in the context?
Well, Chris, I want to first thank you for the opportunity to just discuss this, that it's such an important issue. And within the context of the Tribal Affairs Committee meeting, they were talking about justice in the courts and wanting their voice in the tribal court system. And they were speaking from their experience. And I apologized for causing an offense, for just really not allowing them to just speak from their perspective. And what I said was that I don't want them to forget that white women are facing similar issues of a lack of justice. Their individual personal experience sounds exactly the same as that I hear from my own constituents. And so I was trying to create a similar relationship when it comes down to the individual who has been victimized. It was in no way to diminish the Native voice, but to say, you're not alone in this. And that day when I stood up of my own volition to really apologize for causing the offense for 45 seconds, however long it was, it felt like an eternity. I stood up on the House floor, which is really in front of the entire state of Alaska, and the emotion of what it is that the lack of justice these victims face that I care so deeply about just hit me. The weight of that was so real, and my heart to bring healing and justice for everyone really hit me, and I was trying to get myself composed. And so that was the struggle of keep it together. I care so deeply about this, but I caused an offense to the very people that I want to build a relationship with. And so that's why I gave my apology in all sincerity. And I will continue to do whatever it takes to bring healing and justice for every victim in Alaska. And Alaska Natives have for generations not received justice in public safety. And it, you know, that is really why I think we saw so much outcry. But it's a humbling experience when you're dealing with messy public policy, especially when it comes to sexual violence. And, you know, we're going to mess up and not get it right, but I want to do everything possible to help bring that relationship back.
So your apology was not to suggest that white women aren't also in a similar situation. It was to, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but maybe the insensitivity with which, or the environment maybe wasn't the right context for you to say that. You're saying, hey, I should have just listened. I was trying to create sort of a communal relation, like, okay, I understand. And you said, look, in not so many words, maybe that was ham-handed, I should have just listened. Is that, am I hearing you correctly, that it wasn't, you're not saying I was wrong, white women aren't suffering, it's just that maybe in that context, I should have just been listening?
Absolutely, Chris. Sometimes people just need to share their experience. And that was the context of Tribal Affairs, was for them to share what they're going through in the tribes. in rural villages, and my response was not being sensitive to where they are. And, you know, I need to keep that in mind, and I'm going to continue to foster the relationship, but it can't go unnoticed that every race, every culture, every age group is vulnerable to exploitation and being preyed upon, especially here in Alaska. And I don't want that to go unnoticed.
Have people accepted your apology? The people that you were actually wanting to apologize to, has anyone reached out to you or you to them? And has there been an understanding and some olive branch of forgiveness or acceptance of your apology?
You know, Chris, there has been, and it is so humbling. I've had my own members in the legislature come to me. I've spoke with the president of Tlingit Haida here in Juneau, which is the largest tribe, and they are regular participants in the Tribal Affairs Committee, and told me to lean into this, that they have watched me be fully present and engaged in wanting to learn and create understanding and address the issues, and told me to keep pressing into the issue, lean into this, because they know my heart. And, you know, that's where I think we're going to see the positive change that we want as Alaskans, is when we allow for that forgiveness and the space for growth. And that's what I'm seeking.
I intend to talk about this a little bit further, and I do not want your time with me here today and your constituency here today to be solely focused on Tom Kazaya and his interpretation of what you said or meant to say, or what he thought you should have said or understood or don't understand. But I have to say, his comment is that, quote, she said that she was sorry for her choice of words, quote, "What I should have said is that evil does not discriminate." And then he goes on to say she still doesn't get it. Evil loves to discriminate. What did you mean by "what I should have said is that evil does not discriminate"? What does that mean to you?
Well, that means that perpetrators will prey upon the vulnerable. They are an equal opportunity when it comes to vulnerability, and usually, for the most part, does not depend on someone's race or culture, their background. They look for people who are vulnerable, and that's what I meant by it, is that most offenses are not race-based. They do exist, but most of the time it's because those individuals have predisposed vulnerabilities, and we often refer to them as ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, that increase a person's susceptibility to be further victimized. And, you know, that's what I meant by evil does not discriminate. Evil preys upon everyone. And we have examples in our own hometown of Duffy being murdered. And that was just evil seeing an opportunity for a woman who was innocent and vulnerable at that time. She was alone. That's what I mean by evil does not discriminate. You know, that if they want to interpret it differently, that does not change the fact that most evil is seeking anyone that they can prey upon and get away with it.
Tom goes on to talk about perhaps the Koch funded Alaska policy forum, and in reference to your priorities or advocacy for things that are outside of your district. He's referring to the Koch funded Alaska policy forum. I haven't heard anybody really talking about the Koch brothers in a while. Let me just get it straight. Do you, Sarah Vance, accept money, or are you in any way affiliated with the Koch brothers, and or are they major contributors to your campaign or your position as a House representative for our district?
You know, Chris, I didn't even know who the Koch brothers were until people in the left in our community told me who they were. I suppose that maybe there are there are organizations in Alaska who maybe receive national funding from them, and we align on the same values, but I am unaware of any direct contributions. No, they do not contribute. I know my contributors to my campaigns are local Alaskans and have not received any money from them.
Sarah Vance, I have to say thank you. And again, I'm going to be talking. I'm debating whether or not to have Tom on. I've considered Tom to be a friend in the past and not politically aligned. And that's one of the things that I've appreciated about him is that he and I aren't, we know it. I know where he stands for the most part politically, and he, and yet we've had interesting conversations, and I find it just repulsive is maybe too strong of a word, but maybe not strong enough, the article with which he attacked you here. And it's an opinion piece, I get it, but at the same time, when you carry the weight that he does in this state as a journalist, it can't be taken any other way than an article. I don't know that you can separate his opinion in journalism, and it's on full display here. If you were to talk to Tom right now, what would you say to him?
Well, I would tell him that I've appreciated his kindness in always being respectful, and we are able to have a dialogue about the things that we agree upon and that which we don't. It's always been a wonderful conversation, and it's unfortunate that he has chosen to not only disrespect me, but our community, who duly elected me 3 times now. I am elected by a strong majority of the people in our district, and I'm doing the will of the people. And by bringing up such vitriol in this manner, it doesn't open dialogue for us to come together on the things that we do agree about as a community. And I find that unfortunate. But I will continue to be open to having further discussions with him as long as he remains open himself.
Representative Sarah Vance, thank you for your service to the state and our district, and wish you all the best this cycle. You'll need it.
Thanks, Chris.